for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2008 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday afternoon, December the 26th, 2008. Glenn Miller is the speaker of the afternoon, teaching on Doctrines of Error.
Cheryl Batts was supposed to minister this afternoon. She has a mother who has to have constant care. Some of her family promised her that they would be there to take care of their mother. And then they called her this morning and told her that they weren't going to be able to be there. And she couldn't find anybody. And neither could I, so here I am. I believe that my voice will hold up. I will follow a little bit behind Brother Dale. Now, that's really not possible to do because some of you have heard, and there will be many, many will hear what he taught this morning and have never thought or heard the vein that Brother Dale taught in this morning. And we are carried away by our tradition and our heritage. And every one of us has some tradition and heritage that we believe because we were taught it by our pastor or our superintendent or our Sunday school class that is there. And some of it is very blatant error, and I will not try to confuse anyone with some of the great errors that I have been taught over the years. I will mention one, and that's the rapture theory. That is the greatest detriment to the body of Christ that exists in the teachings of Scripture, for they've taken Scripture out of context and tried to make it fit a theory that won't fly. Anyway, I was raised Pentecostal. I was raised in the little mission that my folks got saved in 1922. Later became the Assembly of God Church. So you can see where my heritage lies. So it's very hard when you first begin to see these things in Scripture and then try to relate to some of them in comparison to what you have been brainwashed in for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, or even more, to understand that you have been misled by those that you trusted. And there's a multitude in the earth today that are misled by their pastors and their teachers. They're misled in the rapture. They're misled in the kingdom. They're misled in who the kingdom people are. They're misled in the understanding of the book of Revelation. And they're misled in many other areas. Paul told Timothy, he said, well, what did he tell him to do? He said, Timothy, you study to show yourself approved unto who? Unto God. A workman that's not ashamed to declare it is written. That's what he told Timothy. And that applies for everyone in the sound of my voice or in the sound of any other voice who teaches it is written. Now, there are things over the years that I have wondered about and have been wondered for answers to things. Well, in the last few years, I've sat under teachers and speakers who have brought some of these truths to light. But since I've been in Pentecost, almost since I was born, I've heard all kinds of teachings, Larkin's charts, other charts, other teachings, and I've never been able in my own mind to quite put it all together, because it just didn't seem to fit what I saw in the scripture. And in the late 40s and the early 50s, I began to hear different ones outside of my denomination, because I've always been kind of curious, and I did the no-no to the Assemblies of God, because they don't approve of you going to hear other teachings, because they have it all down, and that's it. But I've always kind of been a little bit of a renegade. And in the late 40s and early 50s, I began to hear about the sons of God and the manifestation of the sons of God. And then the Pentecostal people, they began to speak about the sons of God, and they taught that everybody that's saved is a son of God. Well, that is a truth to a point. Everything is a truth to a certain place, unless it's air. But in the last 3 or 4 years, I've kind of been, that's been resurrected in me. And so I'm going to talk about that this afternoon for a little bit, because I desire to be a son of God. Now, manifested son of God, wonderful. An overcomer? Yes. But you know, there are qualifications to all of that. Just because you say you've accepted Jesus does not give you a right to be a manifested son of God or one of the overcomers of the seven groups of overcomers in the book of Revelation. There are qualifications to every one of those degrees. And so I started to write what I thought would be a little pamphlet. But if I ever finish it, it'll be a small booklet. Because the longer I look at it and the longer I search, the more I'm confronted with things that I see that at this time do not actually have an answer for. Yet God says that He says that He's that I'm to do it. He says, we'll get to what I'm saying in a little bit. You see, back in the late 50s and 60s, I started to come under some of the teachings of George Houghton, who wrote The Page and devoured everything he wrote for years. Under the George Warnock, I sat in his Bible studies in his home and under his teachings. And Bill Britton, and it's a little booklet of Bill Britton that somebody handed to Irma, who was a good friend of ours, that began to open our eyes to the understanding of the rapture theory. So I owe a great deal to these men of yesterday. I could name lots more of them that I've been privileged in my 88 years to know either personally or to sit in the meeting under their teachings. And it's been my privilege and my blessing. Anyway, I'm desirous to be worthy of this lofty calling that God says that we can obtain to. I have here a few pages that have been typed for me at the beginning of what I'm writing. I've got another old big section that hasn't been typed yet. But for a little bit, I'll use a few notes in here for reference. And then we'll get to "It is written." And some of the requirements that God says are required of not only those who wish to obtain to this high and lofty calling, but you are required, whether you desire that or not. Because it is written for every one of us, no exception. And some of it that is written, you may not want to hear, even though you've read it. And you thought, oh, that's for somebody else. Really? Jesus, some of the requirements, for it is written. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 22, and I think Dale made mention of this. Jesus said, "For I testify unto every man, woman, boy, and girl, that heareth the words of this prophecy, of this book." There are not two books. There's not an old book and a new book. It's one book. He said, "That heareth the words of this prophecy." And he's talking about the book. "If any man or woman, boy or girl, shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him, man, woman, boy or girl, the plagues that are written. If any man, boy or girl, shall take away," say, "that's not for today," that's taking away. "Say, I don't believe it," that's taking away. "Say, that was for somebody else," that's not for me, That's taking away. Shall take away from the words in the book of this prophecy. God shall take his part out of the book of life. God said it. Jesus said it. And out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. And then he said that he'll put all the plagues on you that are written in this book. And there are a lot of them. So, what are the requirements of God to become a son of God, an overcomer, according to the seven overcomers of the book of Revelation? In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20, Jesus said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. And lo, I am the I am that I am with you always unto the end of the world or age. In Genesis chapter 26 verse 5 says, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge and my commandments and my statutes. And Nehemiah said, chapter 9 and verse 14, voice, I will make you work in the name of Jesus. And make known unto them thy commandments, thy precepts, thy statutes, and thy laws that were given by the hand of Moses, thy servant. In Mark chapter 10, verse 5, Jesus said, and Jesus answering said unto them, for the hardness of your heart, Moses wrote this precept. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 19. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people, according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet thread and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people. And all the precepts and statutes were sealed in a blood covenant to this day. That blood covenant is still in existence this moment. There are 348 commandments in the scripture. There are 166 statutes in the scripture. And there are 135 precepts in the scripture. Those are all God considered all of those to be part of his commandments. They're not just an extra something for you to think about. They're part of the commandments that God gave Moses on Mount Sinai. In Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26 it says that if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God and you do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. And he's also the Lord that takes care of my voice and my throat. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God, Elohim, created. And in verse 31, it says, and God, Elohim, saw everything that he had made, and said, "Behold, it was very good." And then he said, "Now Israel, what does the Lord, Yahweh, thy God Elohim, require of them, of thee? But to fear, that don't mean be afraid of God. That means to reverence, honor, respect Him. Of the Lord, Yahweh, thy God Elohim, to walk in all His ways, and to love Him, and to serve the Lord, Yahweh, thy God Elohim, with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord, Yahweh, and His statutes, which I command this day for thy good." And Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12 and 13 says, And so, let's look at some of these commandments, statutes, ordinances, which some of us don't even know exist. Now, it's impossible to look at all of them that wherein it is written. But just for a little while, we will look at some that are very blatant. But yet, I never obeyed. I don't think, because I was told that they were all done away with. That this Old Testament is done away with. Well, one of the first ones that God changed my understanding about will be found in Leviticus chapter 3. And it's a commandment of the Lord. And I'll show you why it is when we read it. Now, I'm not going into great detail of how God brought us to this understanding right here in this very room. But we'll tell you about it. Let's read. Chapter 3, verse 17. It shall be a what? Shall be a perpetual statute. What is that? What is that? Perpetual has no end. Has no end. So let's see what's perpetual. Mm-hmm. Throughout all your dwellings, you shall eat neither fat nor blood. But we're so smart that we eat both of them. So we got blocked arteries, high cholesterol. That's what the doctors are telling us. And they're telling us to quit eating fat. God told us that almost 4,000 years ago. But we're so smart that we don't have to obey Him. That's for somebody else. That's not for me. He said, "Don't eat blood." I've run across multitudes of people, especially from Europe, from Poland and Hungary, Germany and Italy, that drink blood. They drink blood. They make blood pudding, blood sausage, and purines and blood. But God said, "Don't do it." Now, when the Lord showed us here about that, He also showed us that one of the reasons for sugar diabetes, not just one, there are others, is the eating of blood. Now, there are a lot of tribes, peoples around the earth who eat blood and raw meat. There are a lot of people that I've been out to dinner with, and they don't even hardly want the meat put on put on the grill and turn. They just, God said, you don't do that. God said that it's to be well sun or well roasted. Then we have all these diseases and wonder why. It's the curses that we've gotten because we've disobeyed the word of the Lord. Let's turn over to chapter. In between, there's some more. We're going over to chapter 18. I'm not going clear through the chapter, but here in this whole chapter, and in a couple of other chapters, God lists a whole list of things that God says not only are they abomination, but those who do them are to be stoned or burned with fire. God said it. Oh, God didn't mean that. God's a God of love. Yes, God's a God of great love and patience and mercy. Thank God He is, or I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for His grace and mercy. But He also is a God of judgment, and His judgments are sure. Now, I'll say something else that I'll add to it. There are two scriptures about piercing your body. And God says you are not to pierce your body or make any marks in it. And God has never changed that law. And one law says that you're not to mark your body or make any piercings in it. Now, I know that a lot of you women have pierced ears. But God says that you're not to have them. And there have been, in my time, women who have come for prayer, and I could not, or we could not, pray for them until they removed their earrings and renounced them. And also, you have a soul tie with the person who pierced your ears because they drew blood, would give a soul tie between you and whoever that person was. And that soul tie has to be broken. And we've had to do that. And especially with a Jezebel spirit and a spirit of Cleopatra. And we have dealt with, and Jezebel isn't all women. Some men are Jezebels as well. But they don't always have earrings, but some of them do. So you need to think about that. And everybody who hears me or will listen to me, don't get mad at me, because I've had a lot of women get mad at me. And I'm not the one to get mad at. You've got to talk to God about that. Because, you see, God said that to the person who was a slave, and in the year of Jubilee, they could go free. And they said, I don't want to go free. I want to stay and serve you. Okay, then God says that you go to the doorpost, take an awl, and you would bore a hole in his ear. Now, a pierced ear is not only to do with Jezebel and Cleopatra, but is also to do with slavery. a pierced ear is also a sign of slavery as well. Exodus 21:5 is one of the verses. I've got them written down here also. But you can look them up if you don't want to believe them. But anyway, so let's go over now to chapter 18 of Leviticus. And let's read here a little bit. It is written. Now, I've always heard all of my life, well, for the first 50 years of my life, until I began to be set free from the traditions of my childhood and my upbringing, that when I read this first verse of 18 and many other places, I was told that I was reading Moses' law. That's what I was told. And I believe that. But that's not so. So let's read verse 1 of 18 and see what it says. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, no, Moses didn't say, and Moses didn't speak unto Moses. No, God spoke unto Moses. So, this is God's law and not Moses. And there are many chapters that start with that statement. But I was taught that was Moses speaking it and not God. Error in tradition to the detriment of me and everybody else that still believes that today. So what does the Lord say for Moses to do? He says, Moses, you speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses, you say unto them, I am the I am that I am, Jehovah, Elohim, the Lord God Almighty. And there's none other besides me. I am the Lord, your God. And after the doing of the land of Egypt, or the place of sin, wherein you dwelt, or where you dwell in that same land of sin today. After their doings, you shall not do. And after the doings that were in the land of Canaan, whither I brought you from, shall you not do them, neither shall you walk in their ordinances or their teachings. Come over up here and read for me. And let's read what they are. Some of them. There are a lot more.
Ye shall do my judgments and keep my ordinance and walk therein. I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my commandments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. None of you shall approach any of your near kinsmen to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord.
That's incest.
That's incest.
And incest is very rampant in the nation today. And dear Abby wrote an article one time, and she entitled it The Closet Demon. That's what she called it. And she said it's in every family line. And that is true. Incest is in every family line.
Verse 7, their nakedness is of thy father, and the nakedness of thy mother thou shalt not uncover. She is thy mother. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. And the nakedness of thy fathers, their wives, shalt thou not uncover. It is the father's nakedness. And that's also a sexual sin, which these sins go 400 years, 10 generations. So these are very, very, very crucial. Very crucial. And the nakedness is thy sister, and the daughter of thy mother, father, or the daughter of thy mother, which shall be born at home or abroad, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover.
Now, I want to talk to you about that little verse. That little verse takes in every respect of a family. That little verse puts a family together in any way that you can put one together. Your mother died, or your father died. Your mother and father got divorced. Now, your father meets this woman, or this woman meets a man, that their husband or wife have died. She has children. He has children. They get married. Now, we've got stepbrothers and sisters. Now, they have some more children. Now, we've got a compound family. Stepbrothers and sisters, three ways. And that little verse covers every aspect that a family can be taken apart and put back together. And it appears three times in Scripture, just exactly like it's written here. It appears three times. And any relations in any of that is incest. I know of two cases where a brother married a sister who was a half-sister, and where a cousin married a cousin. And now the brother didn't know that he was marrying a half-sister. They were separated at childbirth, and then by satanic, they came back together and married. The two cousins knew that they were first cousins and married. And it brought terrible problems in the family until they came for deliverance. You see, if you're caught in the middle of this, God is the answer. And you come to Him, and He will forgive you. He will bring cleansing, and the curses can be broken, and you can be set free so that you can live a peaceable life without torment.
The nakedness of thy sons' daughters, or thy daughters' daughters, even their nakedness shall be not uncovered, for this is thine own kinsman. The nakedness of thy father's wife's daughter, begotten of thy father, she is thy sister, and thou shalt not uncover her nakedness.
Now, this is a mistranslation that he's reading. And there are several little areas that don't amount to too much, but some of them do. Now, one that I'm very dogmatic about, and that's the word Gentile. That is not a biblical word. And you're not a Gentile. But that's not what we're studying. But you see here where it says that, what did it say? You shall not uncover their nakedness. Now, what that is literally, what the literal text says, You shall not have sexual relations. Uncover is a nice, pretty word instead of saying sexual relations. So everywhere where it says uncover, it should read sexual relations.
Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's sister. She is thy father's nearest kinswoman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, for she is thy mother's nearest kinsman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's brother. Thou shalt not approach to his wife. She is thine aunt. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy daughter-in-law. She is the son's wife. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy brother's wife. It is thy brother's kinsman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of the woman and her daughter. Neither shalt thou take her son's daughters or her daughter's daughters to uncover their nakedness. For thy are the nearest kinsmen, and it is wickedness. Neither shalt thou take a wife to thy sister to vex her, to uncover her nakedness, because the other is her lifetime. Also thou shalt not approach unto any woman and uncover her nakedness as long as she is put away apart for her uncleanness. I want to say something right here. This right here is a cause of a lot of endometriosis with ladies. This is what causes the womb to be closed up, causes the loss of women's wombs. Moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her, and thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through her, the fire of Moloch. Neither shalt thou profane the name of the God, I am the Lord.
What he was talking about was having sex during the woman's monthly period. God says that you're not to do that. And God says that you can, well, it's a known fact that you can have certain things, problems. Women can have problems because of that. Now, this last verse he just read, that is abortion, giving your child to Moloch. Now, today that's abortion. And this nation is under a curse. And I don't know, only way it can get out from under is by the judgment of God. Because this nation is under a curse of the shedding of innocent blood, of giving the children to Moloch. That's what abortion is. Tomorrow.
Verse 22, thou shalt not lie with mankind as womankind. It is an abomination. That's homosexuality. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therein. Neither shalt thou any woman stand before a beast or lie down thereto. It is confusion.
Now, what we're reading here, you can also find all of it in another chapter, and partially in another chapter as well. And another chapter, it says that homosexuality and lesbianism, they're to be taken out and stoned. Now, God says that it is not, and also bestiality. And those who cry foul because I'm saying that, it's not me that's saying it. God said it. They say, oh, God's a God of love. God says that he loves us. Yes, he does. But you've got to obey his word. And if you don't want to obey it, then you get the consequences.
Defile not yourselves in any of these things, for that this will be the nation are defiled and be cast out before thee. The United States is almost to that condition. And the land is defiled thereof. And I do visit the iniquities of there upon it, and the land visits and vomit out her inhabitants. And she shall therefore keep my commandments and my judgments, and shall commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nations, nor any of your strangers that sojourn among you. For all these are an abomination. I have the men of the land that's done and which were before you, and the land is defiled. That is the land spewed out of you also. And when you defile it, as it is spewed out, the nation that were before you. And wherefore shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls of them that commit them shall be cut off from among their people. Neither shall keep any of thine ordinance of your commitments. And not any one of these abominations and customs which were committed before you, and that you defile not yourselves therein. I am the Lord thy God.
Amen. Thanks, Tom. Now, that is just one chapter of God's ordinances that we need to study because we're required. Now, some of you who hear me, repudiate or make fun, but all you're doing is to your own detriment. Because what God had written. Now, there are many more statutes that God has given. He's given a statute to the farmer to take care of the land and how to take care of the fruit trees. And he's never changed. Every 7 years, the land's supposed to lay idle. Well, we're so smart that we haven't done that, and we've tried to. But man-made fertilizer on the land, and we have killed the land. Not only have we killed the land, but we also are finding out that we have the water that we have made the water contaminated, and they're finding it all over the nation. That the insecticides and fertilizers that's been used are beginning to show up in great quantities in the drinking water. And there is no remedy for it. And we're not being told very much about this. But even by distilling the water, which is a very costly process, they can't get rid of all of it. They can use the desalination process from salt water, which Saudi Arabia has been doing with our money in great quantity for years. But we have never really done anything about that. But we're the one who the Lord showed the process to. But we've never done it. But now that we need the water, it's kind of hard to catch up. But what we're getting is the judgments of God. You see, God's word is sure. And brother, however you want to look at it, God still is a right and just God. And He's a loving God. And He wants you and I. The reason I'm standing here talking about this is because He wants you and I to understand that Jesus came that we might be set free from all of these areas that we have come under because of our ancestors or because of my own self. Jesus is my curse. But if we don't obey His word, He cannot help it if we fall under some of the other thing, because it's God's word, and God won't change His word for me or you. So we need to study to know what these areas are that we can walk in that area and become an overcomer. And how do we become overcomers? By obeying. It is written. But we can't obey. It is written in areas that we've been taught do not apply to me. And until you and I understand those areas, we are subject to the error. Even though you don't know it, that's not God's fault. That is your teacher's fault, who will also be judged because of the error that you were taught. But then you stand also because that you haven't studied and seen these areas and looked to see, Lord, does that apply to me? Am I responsible? And you will find that there are many areas that apply to your life today that will bring life and health and happiness to you, to your family, as you learn to walk in the light of the Scripture for your benefit and for the benefit of your family and your ancestors, so that you can come out from underneath the curse of incest. Now God says that all these other areas carry a four-generation curse. But sexual sins and the curse of incest carries a 10-generation curse. Now, I don't know what my great-grandfather did, let alone 10 generations back. Now, on top of that, if somebody 15 generations back did some of this and fell under that 10-generation curse, and it came down into this bloodline, and then somebody in my 10 generations repeated it, then it's running yet another 10 generations. So you see, these areas really are almost perpetual until we come to the place where we stand up and say, devil, that's enough. No father. And we take authority and break the power in the name of Jesus of these areas in our life that we're bound by. Now, okay, and he's going to carry on and be my voice. Okay, I relieve my place to you, Tom.
Okay, is everybody, please stand up. You've had a load put on you. Kind of move around. But while you're moving around right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just take the spiritual authority right now to release these situations upon these people right now. We take them right into the heavenlies. But we don't want you to run away. We want you to just stand up and wheel around and come back and sit down. And when you sit down, we just ask you not to be able to touch one another, because sometimes it stops some things that needs to move. And we want to be free. I want to be free. I want to see you free. Because I asked a question the other day about my family. I got a phone call within 2 days, and I didn't even ask. I asked this question just between my wife and myself. I didn't go out and ask anybody. But also a phone call come in, and this kind of thing just started filtering in, that my family was caught under the situations. So, you know, if I'm caught there, I know everybody else is, and not only that. But Lord, we just come right now in the name of Jesus. We break and bind every spirit of the rapture theory, every doctrinal demon right now in the name of Jesus. I bind and break the power and authority of it in Jesus' name. Command it to loose the people right now. You come out of them right now. All of them right now in Jesus' name. All we got to do is sit down and wait for the rapture. You can sit down right now if you need to. So go ahead and sit down. We continue to pray. But Lord, we thank you. We praise you and glorify you. Lord, we break the all eating of the fat right now in Jesus' name. We break it and bind it, command the loose eating of the fat right now in Jesus' name. That's one of the eating of the fat is one of the diseases is lupus that comes out of this. We bind and break the power and authority of it, command to loose you. Also, diabetes comes from it in the name of Jesus. A lot of other things. I bind it, break the power and authority of it in the name of Jesus. There's 32 different diseases that comes out of eating fat of the pork. We break it and bind it, command it to loose you right now in Jesus' name. We break it and bind it, command it to loose everyone in this room right now in Jesus' name. I break it and command it to loose you right now in Jesus' name. All eating of the blood, we break and bind and command it to loose you right now in Jesus' name. All transfusions in Jesus' name. I bind and break the power and authority of it in the name of Jesus, because life is in the blood. You receive somebody else's spirit. We break it and we bind it, command to loose you right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All piercing of the ears, I break evil soul ties, also blood covenants with a person that pierced your ears. I break it and bind it, command to come off you right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We break it and command to loose you right now. All piercings right now in Jesus' name. And also tattoos. I break all evil soul ties or blood covenants with the tattoo artist that tattooed you in the name of Jesus. And the Lord says that you go free, because when you took it, you didn't know anything about this. We need to know what God's Word. I break and bind that spirit right now in Jesus' name. Command it to loose them in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All piercing ears and tattoos be gone in Jesus' name. All spirits of incest, in Jesus' name. I break all curses, hexes, vexes, and spells that came up on the women of having sex on menstrual cycles. In the name of Jesus.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.